Hey everyone, welcome to a special Judicial Watch weekly update here on social media. As you can tell, I'm not in our usual location. I'm actually down at the Trump Doral, wonderful golf resort, great golf courses as you can see here. They're setting up for the LIV golf tournament that's coming to town next week. They're expecting 45,000 people here. And we're here meeting with Judicial Watch donors. It's a great event because Judicial Watch can't operate without our supporters. And of course, we're happy to be at the Trump National Doral down here, which is just great. But there's so much going on up in Washington, D.C. We've got this Signal mini scandal, major effort by President Trump to secure our elections. Plus new lawsuits by Judicial Watch to expose the lawfare abuse against President Trump. On top of that, we've got an expose of more abuse of the Secret Service by Biden's crazy dogs. You're not going to believe, and how it might involve Obama even. First up, though, I want to talk about President Trump's election integrity efforts. He signed what I consider to be a truly historic executive order this week that takes significant steps to ensure fair and clean elections in the United States. And there are several sections of, or several ideas he's proposing through executive action in this executive order. And perhaps the most significant one is his ordering of an executive agency, the Election Assistance Commission, to change the federal voter registration form to require proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. Now, currently the form, which is yet to be changed despite people's concern about aliens voting in our elections contrary to law, just has someone attest to the fact that they're a citizen. There's no proof required, so we're basically taking them on their word, which many people don't find sufficient and obviously isn't sufficient. So what he is doing is requiring as part of the new federal election registration form that individuals submit some type of proof of citizenship as they're registering to vote. This is going to significantly curtail the possible issue of people registering the vote who aren't eligible because they're not citizens. Now, the left, you can be sure, is going to fight this and sue. And I think President Trump's got the better of the argument legally. Certainly, the policy argument is really not debatable for normal people. If you look at the polling, obviously there's 80% support for voter ID. The left doesn't want to tell you this part. There's also 80% support for requiring proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. So a major push for election integrity by President Trump. Another significant section of the executive order is his endorsement of essentially Judicial Watch's legal theory that the counting of ballots received after Election Day is unlawful. As I told you in previous updates, we've had a Fifth Circuit court, the appellate court, and then essentially it was largely upheld by the entire Fifth Circuit court sitting en banc, a finding that counting ballots received, at least in Mississippi, up to 5 days after Election Day is unlawful. You can't count ballots that show up after Election Day. It's like showing up in person to vote 3 days after Election Day. You can't vote. In California, we just sued California for Daryl Issa, the congressman in California, or a Republican congressman in California. They count ballots that are received up to 7 days after Election Day. So we've got litigation in Illinois as well. They count ballots up to 14 days after Election Day. In total, 18 states count ballots that arrive after Election Day. And here's what President Trump rightly says about this issue. Federal law establishes a uniform election day across the nation for federal elections. It is the policy of my administration to enforce these statutes and require that votes be cast and received by the election day established in law. As the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, referencing our case, recently held in the case that we brought, these statutes set the day by which ballots must be both cast by voters and received by state officials. Yet numerous states fail to comply with those laws by counting ballots received after Election Day. This is like allowing persons who arrive 3 days after Election Day, perhaps after a winner has been declared, to vote in person at a former voting precinct, which would be absurd. So he's directing his agencies, specifically the Justice Department, to enforce the law. So another significant step for clean elections. As we highlighted in California, there are at least two congressional seats that were lost by Republicans as a result of votes that came in after Election Day that, in our view, were unlawfully counted. So two significant steps for the rule of law on elections. Let's make sure there are no citizens voting in our elections. The best way to do that is to ensure they aren't registering to vote and requiring proof of citizenship to establish your eligibility, which is what President Trump's executive order requires. Secondly, he is asking for and directing his executive agency responsible for the issue to require in the federal registration form proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. Massive improvements for election integrity. The next big thing, obviously, would be a national voter ID law or requirement, but that's going to have to likely go through Congress, I think. So in the meantime, we'll take it, and we look forward to at least, it looks like, maybe Justice Department support in our lawsuits to stop states from counting ballots that arrive after Election Day. Plus, he has more part in the other sections of this executive order. Also, will make it easier for states to clean up their voter rolls. As you may know, Judicial Watch is in court across the country and has been in court across the country for well over a decade to try to enforce the law to require states to take reasonable steps to clean up the rolls. We've cleaned upwards now. It's nearly five. It used to be 4 million. Now it's approaching 5 million names from places like California, Pennsylvania, New York City, Washington, D.C., Kentucky, you name it. We're cleaning up rolls all over the country, but many millions more need to be cleaned. And it's good to have the Justice Department and, well, actually, no, it's good to have President Trump telling his agencies to make more information available to the states so they can take people off who've moved or died or otherwise have become ineligible to vote. So great news for election integrity this week. The other big news story is the Signal scandal. Or non-scandal, depending on your point of view. So I don't want to belabor the details of the story other than President Trump's cabinet, significant members of his cabinet, and other officials like the National Security Advisor engaged in a Signal chat. So Signal is a messaging application that provides secure ways to communicate. The challenge is that once it gets onto your phone, anyone who has access to your phone can look at that secure communication. So the communication back and forth might be secure, but the endpoints aren't necessarily secure. So after President Trump made the decision to have the U.S. attack the Houthis, the terrorist operation that was essentially closing down a major commercial shipping lane in the Middle East, his team got together and was talking about it. And Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, in this Signal chat, puts all sorts of details about the upcoming operation just before it was about to happen. And then there was a debate, led frankly by J.D. Vance, the Vice President, about whether they should even do it, which seemed a bit odd given the fact the President had concluded that they should do it. So as you might imagine, both Republicans and Democrats are saying, well, why are you talking about such a sensitive topic on Signal? Off of secure, because it's not secure in the government sense of the word. And there's really no good answer for that. It was a mistake. It's clear it was a mistake. Now, the left wants to say it was a crime and everyone should be prosecuted, which isn't really a serious analysis. So if I were President Trump, I'd be pretty angry that, A, they were just communicating in an insecure way about a pending military operation. Secondly, I'd be upset that they're all talking about something that as if it were up for debate when he had already settle the debates. I'd be upset with everyone on that Signal app. So the left has obviously run the court and suggested that this is a violation of the federal records law. I don't think there's any indication the federal records law has been violated yet, meaning that the federal records law requires certain records of government operations to be saved because you can't be deleting significant government records. Whether these are federal records under the law is an open question. And just because it's on Signal, it doesn't mean they're going to be deleted anyway. So there's a lot of supposition there. So the left is doing everything they can to try to maximize this. And if I were President Trump, I'd also be upset that he had this seemingly successful effort to protect our shipping lanes, significant shipping lanes that affect the U.S. economy and the economy of the world, and defend America and our ships that had been attacked with virtually an immaterial response by Biden. So a significant, strong action. And we get the distraction of this stupid Signal issue afterwards. So, should anyone be fired? I don't think so. But the reality is if the Biden administration had done this or the Obama administration had done this, there'd be a lot of upset noise by Republicans and conservatives. So we'll be asking questions about this Signal issue, too. But let's not pretend it's the same issue in terms of security threat as like the president fleeing, ordering his troops to flee Afghanistan and getting a dozen plus people killed, or being asleep at the switch as Russia invades Ukraine, or allowing the Houthis in this case to bombard our ships and other commercial shipping with virtually no response. So, this is what happens as administrations continue and operate. Things happen that are negative. So just because it was a mistake and it shouldn't happen again doesn't mean the world should end. And I issued a tweet earlier this week. I said, everybody should just calm down, right? It was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened. I don't think any laws were violated despite all the huffing and puffing. But there's going to be more investigations, and President Trump recognizes that. But you make a mistake, and there are consequences. So there'll be some consequences for this. But I'm more interested in consequences for efforts to jail a president for simply questioning an election. I'm interested for consequences for nearly getting Trump killed. I'm interested for consequences for allowing 10, 11, 12 million people to invade the United States over the course of 4 years. Those are the consequences I'm interested in pursuing, not really consequences for what looks to be at best government officials talking about impending military action in a way that seemed pretty normal. So let's not let the left guide our analysis of this. Yes, something negative happened. But let's not pretend it's the end of the world. I think one of the more concerning issues in recent years is the really collapse professionally of the Secret Service. Obviously, the proof is in the pudding in terms of the collapse. You had the president nearly killed twice, including with the bullet that was actually fired, and but for the grace of God would have killed him. And of course, an innocent American was killed at that attempted assassination attempt. And we've been hearing horrible things about the Secret Service for years at Judicial Watch. One of the reasons the Secret Service is in such a sorry state is because the employees, the agents, are just been horribly treated by management. So the Secret Service is a government agency like any other government agency, with the pluses and minuses. And one of the big minuses have been the way the agents have been treated by Joe Biden. Joe Biden's dogs, as Judicial Watch alone documented, bit agents, his two dogs, 25 times. Bit agents, other White House personnel. Just incredible. While he was president of the United States. And none of this would have been public but for Judicial Watch finding out about it, pursuing it through FOIA investigations and lawsuits. And no one would know it had happened. And those agents would have been on their own, bitten by a dog, and this wasn't, and these dog bites from his German Shepherds weren't little nips or little growls in a snap. It was the dog running across and grabbing the poor agents on the forearm, biting their forearm and such. Another agent was bitten on his back like there. Just incredible. Obviously, President Biden isn't president anymore. I wonder if he has another German Shepherd, though, back at his home for the agents who are protecting him. I wonder if they are at risk. So it was interesting. We got a tip that, hey, look, this issue wasn't new to him, his being president. His dog at the time, Champ, that I'm now going to call Chomp, was biting agents when he was vice president under Barack Obama. And of course, you can be sure Obama and people in the Biden and the then Obama White House knew all about this, but covered it up. But we've exposed it through a FOIA investigation. And we just got documents detailing the bites and attacks of the first of what were three German Shepherds that were impinging through the White House, biting Secret Service agents. It looks like for at least a decade in toto. The first record I want to call attention to is a March 24th, 2012 email. So remember, this is just before Obama's re-election, back when he was using the Lois Lerner IRS to suppress the Tea Party, abusing people generally in the United States in order to secure his election. And this email was sent by a Secret Service agent with the subject, dog attack, exclamation point, exclamation point. I need a couple of days off. Champ just tried to attack me. Later in the exchange, the unnamed employee responds to the assistant to the special agent in charge, I need hazard pay. On September 1st, 2015, so this is well into President Obama's second term, a special agent in the Vice Presidential Protective Division reports a bite on the forearm. Have you ever been bitten by a dog? Can you imagine a German Shepherd biting you on the forearm? Covered it up. Tore the jacket. And he says, you know, I got to get the jacket fixed. Because that jacket was torn. But again, it wasn't just during his presidency, but during his vice presidency that the dog was out of control, or his then dog was out of control. So I have more details available for you at the Judicial Watch website. So this is on top of the Secret Service agents by the dozen being bitten by Biden's two other dogs when he was president. But it began during his vice presidency. And it really shows Biden's contempt for those around him. It shows corruption at the highest levels of the Secret Service. They knew this was happening, and rather than protect their agents and, frankly, protect their protectee, because imagine being an agent for the President of the United States or the Vice President and being worried you're going to be attacked by the dog at any moment. You could have situations where the agent has to shoot the dog, or is distracted during a key moment and the protectee, in this case, President Biden, or someone around him is hurt. Just incredible. And you wonder why the Secret Service is a mess? If you worked at a government agency, you're at the apex of your career protecting the President of the United States, and you're worried about getting bitten by his dog because he doesn't give a rat's tail about what his dog was doing. Remember, the dog was under the control, at least during his presidency, of both Jill and Joe Biden when some of these attacks occurred. Imagine being a government official and the guy whose life you're defending is letting his dog attack you. That's like third world dictator obliviousness to the safety and security of the people who work for you. And so President Trump, this is why I'm worried about President Trump's safety, because this Secret Service has been decimated in terms of morale and professionalism for a lot of reasons, not least of which is being abused by Joe Biden. And I think there needs to be full accountability within the agency for those who covered all this crap up. Well, I have to say, I'm a bit frustrated by the Justice Department thus far. They've been in office for 2 months, and as best I can tell, there have been no efforts to change the approach on government transparency by the Trump Justice Department under Attorney General Bondi. I know there's a lot of things on her plate, but it seems to be a priority for any Justice Department, especially given what happened the last 4 years, is to expose the corruption as a key way to hold the abusers of President Trump and others accountable. And this is why it's frustrating to announce that we had to sue the Justice Department to get basic information about complaints of misconduct concerning Jack Smith, the special counsel appointed by Merrick Garland to destroy President Trump. We wanted information about misconduct by him or members of his team. Now, we filed the request back in December of last year. The Justice Department asked us to clarify it just before the Trump administration came in. Since then, it's been crickets. So we had to file this federal lawsuit to uncover the details of the complaints about Jack Smith. I got a complaint about Jack Smith. His people abused me before a grand jury for 4 hours, harassing me, making me think at one point, or trying to make me think that it would be wrong for me to communicate what happened at the grand jury. And because I pushed back, they finally admitted, oh, well, you're allowed to say anything you want about what happened before the grand jury. So the abuse wasn't just of witnesses or certainly of President Trump, but of lawyers involved in the litigation or the investigation. The Office of Professional Responsibility of the Justice Department, the internal watchdog related to legal issues or lawyer professional conduct, opened a review into the following allegation. Jay Pratt, a top prosecutor on the classified documents probe, previously noted complaints from an attorney representing one of Trump's co-defendants. Stanley Woodward, attorney for Trump, Walt Nauta, N-A-U-T-A, accused Pratt of bringing up his interest in a judicial nomination as a pressure tactic. So as I recall, the story was, hey, I hear you want a job as a judge. Well, completely inappropriate. There have been allegations of evidence that was planted by the DOJ, Jack Smith abusing witnesses, as I witnessed, or his team abusing witnesses. And on top of that, we have this lawyer accusing one of his top deputies of threatening to withhold a government appointment from him or a judicial appointment from him. Really outrageous misconduct. Frankly, it rises to the nature of a criminal issue, in my view. And Judicial Watch has been trying to get the full truth about the Jack Smith operation for a long period of time now. So it's frustrating that the Justice Department is withholding complaints about Jack Smith's very misconduct that's been so widely publicized. Jack Smith and his team were a rogue political operation whose only purpose was to keep Donald Trump from being elected. There were serious complaints about misconduct by this Get Trump DOJ operation. This new Justice Department must get on the ball and stop the secrecy about the lawfare against Donald Trump. So this is part of a comprehensive Judicial Watch investigation. I dare say that is even more significant than what the DOJ is currently doing, based on at least public reports, more significant and successful than what Congress is doing. We've exposed Fannie Willis's collusion with the January 6 operation set up by Nancy Pelosi. We've exposed details about the raid of Mar-a-Lago that had been hidden. And right now we're fighting in court for the names of the top people that Jack Smith and the Justice Department have been hiding from us, who were working with him to try to prosecute Trump. Again, names that have yet to be released under FOIA to Judicial Watch by this Justice Department. So I want Pam Bondi to get on the ball in terms of transparency on this corrupt lawfare against President Trump. And this new lawsuit, hopefully, is another opportunity or results in her doing what we ask her to do under law. So much going on here at Judicial Watch. And this is a pretty spectacular location from which to report to you on. And as I said, I'm here with Judicial Watch donors. Our donors deserve all the credit for the good work we're doing. Obviously, there's a bit of celebration because we helped stop the steal, made the elections cleaner and more honest through Judicial Watch's work. When it came to exposing the lawfare against Trump, we were second to none. And I'm convinced our work helped keep President Trump out of jail by educating Americans about the abusers in the Justice Department and their co-conspirators, as I would call them, in New York City with Alvin Bragg and Fannie Willis about what they were up to going after Trump. I don't think if we were out there blowing the whistle about the Justice Department's illegal legal positions, in my view, that Trump would have been able to get through the last 4 years without being incarcerated. And so on top of that, of course, just generally, we are taking the lead on virtually every transparency issue there is when it comes to the government. Of course, we can't do any of that great work without the support of our Judicial Watch supporters. So you see everything we're into, election integrity, taking on the lawfare, defending the rule of law and our Constitution. So you see all the great work Judicial Watch does. If you're not supporting us, I encourage you to find out more if you need to, and join our cause, join our movement. We're trying to protect the country, and we're going to protect it no matter who's in office. And we will be pushing and pushing and pushing for the full truth about the effort to take down our republic while also just generally protecting constitutional government while educating Americans about what their government has been up to. I'll see you here next time on the Judicial Watch Weekly Update.
Thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and like our video down below.